But as we prepare our hearts for worship, would you hear this original song of the Lord who is our shepherd? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Would you pray with me? Oh, good shepherd God, what a joy it is to be in your presence with your people. This morning, we join the psalmist and we proclaim that you are a God of generosity and provision and kindness and care. For the green pastures and the still waters that you've led us to this week, for the ways that you've cared for our tangible needs, for the ways that you've cared for our soul's needs, for the ways that you've given us pleasure and joy and rest. Oh, we give you thanks. Lord, there are some folks in this room right now who are very truly walking through the darkest valley. And for the promise that you are with us, your rod and your staff here to protect us, to guide us until we make it through, we give you thanks for that. And that all of us have a seat with our names on it at your grand table. A seat where you will see that our cup overflows with your mercy, with your grace, with your love. This table of belonging, this table of forgiveness, that we get to be at that table, we give you thanks. And in this place, we declare together that because of you, O Lord, we get to know goodness and mercy, not just in heaven one day, but already right here today. You, O God, are a good, good God. And so it is our deep joy to sing songs of praise to you. It is our delight to offer our prayers, knowing that on your throne you hear them and you receive them. And it is our desire, O Lord, to hear your desires and to align our lives with yours, for you are the shepherd God. And so we're here to hear from you. We're here to praise you. And we're here to know how to better follow and obey and trust you. May all of that happen in this place. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 10, verse 1. Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep." Would you pray with me? And so, Good Shepherd Jesus, once again, we turn our hearts to you. And we ask that through your holy word, that you might continue to guide us into this gift of not just life, but abundant life that you have told us is ours. And so here we are, your people. And we ask that your spirit move mightily among us in this place, helping us hear whatever it is you want us to hear. And so you might help us be whoever it is you want us to be, so you might help us do whatever it is you want us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I ask you this morning, just for a few seconds, to close your eyes. I know you love when I do this. Close your eyes. And as your eyes are closed, picture the first image that comes to mind of someone fully alive. Sit in that place for a few seconds. Someone fully alive. What do they look like? Are you seeing someone you know? Or is it an imagined face? What are they doing? Are they swinging in a hammock on the beach with their piña colada? Are they scaling up a mountain? Maybe serving hot meals to the poor? Are they embracing their grandkids? Are they posing in front of their mansion? You can open your eyes. What makes somebody fully alive? And are you that person? Or could it be you? Does God want it to be you? During April, we've been in this series on what is the abundant life. Because Jesus has promised to his sheep, I have come to give you life, and not just any old get by kind of life, but abundant life at that. We looked at the message version where it said the abundant life is the life that is even greater than you've dreamed of. And Jesus says, that's the life I've got for you. So we've been asking for 4 weeks now, what is it? What is it? How do we get that? It's promised to us. How do we receive the gift? And we first talked about what it's not. And we've said this every week, so we should know it good by now. It is not, the abundant life is not just the promise of prosperity, right? It's not just more wealth. We know a lot of wealthy people whose life is not abundant at all. So it's not just wealth. It's not a life that is free from trials. The Good Shepherd himself says that the wolves will come, the thieves will come. Psalm 23, even though I walk through the darkest valley, it's not a life that's free from trials. And it's also, we know, not a promise just for heaven one day, but it's a promise from the Good Shepherd for his sheep, for the living of these days. So that's what it's not. So then we ask, so what is it? What is this abundant life? And first and foremost, we laid this foundation that said it's nothing else if it's not this one thing. And this one thing that the abundant life has to be is a life that is truly lived in intimacy with the Good Shepherd Jesus. A life in dynamic, real relationship with him. And from that foundation come some other things. We spent the last 2 weeks talking about how then the abundant life is not a life lived alone, but it's a life lived in a flock. Sheep don't exist on their own. Sheep exist together in a flock with their shepherd. So we talked about the abundant life cannot be found apart from community, and not just any community, but Christian community, people seeking the same shepherd together. And we talked last week about, okay, how do we actually do that? If you missed it, I'm not going to preach that one again, but it's online. So today is the final installment in this big idea of what is the abundant life. And today we're looking at the invitation to live a life on purpose and with purpose. The abundant life is lived on purpose and lived with purpose. A life lived on purpose. What does that look like? Jesus, the Good Shepherd, paints this picture of every day, every morning. The shepherd, first thing, coming to open the gates and call his sheep out, to step out of that pen and be on an adventure with him. every single day. Together, they will go out and they will find those green pastures. Together, they will go and come by the still waters. With this shepherd watching over them, the sheep are free to just enjoy their day. Following behind him, they can delight in the sights that come along the way. They can run and they can play. They can eat and they can drink and they can be merry because they are with their shepherd and they are with their flock and they are smack dab in the middle of the places where life abounds. The good shepherd's sheep have every reason to be fully alive, living life on purpose. So how do we move beyond the metaphor of these sheep hanging out with their shepherd and actually live on purpose? Actually be a people who live fully alive every single day. And I ask this question, and I don't think it's just hypothetical. I think it's a real question, because how many people do we see in our lives who are just kind of sleepwalking their way through life? Clocking in and clocking out at a job that they despise. Mindlessly channel surfing at night just to keep from having to think about the things in their life that make them so unhappy. Falling asleep to the sound of some sitcom playing in the background. They wake up and they do it again and again and again. How many people do you know who only really seem happy when they're on vacation? And vacations are always too few and far between, are they not? How many people do we know who say, once I retire, I will enjoy my family and my hobbies. Once I retire, I will finally do what my heart longs to do. I mean, did God create us like that? Did God create us to just kind of get by, just kind of exist, just pay the bills for 65 years or so, and then finally, in that last decade or two of life, finally figure out how to live? I don't think so. So how do we live our lives on purpose? And I ask the question because if we are not careful, we too will see that years and years go by without ever having really lived. The abundant life is life lived fully alive. Life lived on purpose. How do we live like that? I'm glad you're asking, because I've got some ideas. One idea how we live fully alive on purpose: we refuse to be a people who dwell on what isn't and instead choose to see every day what is. That means less grumbling about what's lacking and more gratitude about the blessings that are already abounding. Let's unpack that just a little bit. In John chapter 6, Jesus feeds 5,000 people with one little boy's lunch. Jesus has these people sit down in the grass in green pastures. You hear the echoes of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Jesus is very clearly declaring on this mountainside, the good shepherd has come. The Lord is here. And as they sit in the grass in the green pastures, Jesus takes this little boy's bread and he holds it up to heaven. And rather than say, really, God? This is the best you've got for 5,000 people? A few measly loaves of bread? Really, God? He says, wow, thank you, God, for what you've given to us. Look at this bread. Look at this boy's lunch. God, it could have been nothing, but here's something. And God, with this something in your hands, it could be everything. It could be everything that everyone needs to be fed. Jesus sees not what isn't, but he sees what is. And he holds it in his hands and he says, thank you, God, thank you. The abundant life, the life that is lived on purpose with this good shepherd Jesus, it dwells not always on what isn't, but on what is. And it gives thanks. trusting that this God can use that that already is to take really, really good care of his people. This living on purpose, living in gratitude for what is. Let's take it beyond bread on a hillside. It doesn't dwell on the parts of our bodies that aren't working like they should, but instead sees what is still ticking and says, thanks be to God. God, my back may be out of whack and my ankles might crack with every step, but there is breath in my lungs. And so that must mean you still have a song for me to sing. Thank you, God. I might be losing my hearing, but my eyes can still see your glory. What a gift. Thank you, God. I may walk a little slower these days. It just helps me notice the things that I used to run right by. Thank you, God. This is a life that doesn't dwell on all the money that we don't have, but gives God thanks for all the provisions we do have. And there's so many. Not a one of us is in here naked today. Thanks be to God. And not a one of us is emaciated. Thanks be to God. Look how much we have. And rather than only talk about all the bad things happening, folks who are living on purpose see the good things that are right before their eyes too. And they notice all the incredible people in their midst every single day. The news will tell you there's none of them. Those who are living the full life will say, oh no, there's a bunch of them. I see them everywhere. Look at all these people who are living with integrity and living with compassion and living with care one for another and sharing the love of Jesus far and wide. Look at them. They're everywhere. Everywhere. When you begin to look for them, you see them, and you give thanks to God for those people. The abundant life is a life that is lived on purpose, and it is a life that sees the blessings right in front of us that already are, and knows that there is always a reason to give thanks. One of my favorite people to run into in the church hallways is our friend Stan back there. Every time I see him, Stan, how are you doing? He'll say, oh, I'm getting better. But then he'll say, tell me something good. Tell me some good news. Every time. It puts you on the spot. It's like all of a sudden, wherever you are in your day, right then and right now, he's saying, tell me something that's a gift. Let's name it. He makes me practice this life on purpose right now, this second. What can we give God thanks for? Just say it, he says. He makes me say it. Did you see Yesenia's Facebook post this week on our church page? She dared to share among us her ongoing struggle with Hashimoto's disease. It causes her a lot of pain and inflammation, and just it's no fun at all. And she said in this post to us, she said that she's been dealing with a flare-up since Easter. And she says she's just been pushing through. But here's what she wrote. She said, I know that my God is a good God. And she said, because of this, I'm not asking you to pray for my healing. I'm asking for you to pray for strength that I can show my kids and my husband how good my God is in the midst of this and how he works all things for his glory. She said, this is not something that is going to hinder my ability to be what God wants me to be for him. This is a real life example right here in our midst of someone who is refusing to focus on what's not right, a hurting body, and is instead saying, I know my God is good. And this struggle will not keep me from life with God, but it will be the very avenue through which God shows his glory through me to my family and beyond. Now that is living on purpose. That's not waiting till things get better, saying one of these days I'll enjoy life with my God. No, that's saying today I can trust my shepherd and today I can reflect his goodness. Today I can see his gifts that are right in front of me. And today I can give thanks because my God is good today. That is living on purpose today. Today. What else? What else is this life lived on purpose, this life fully alive? It's a life that enjoys the day at hand. There's all kinds of Jesus paintings in the world. We used to have about 1,000 in this church alone. We still have them somewhere. I'm not telling Stan where, though. But they used to be all over the place. But there's one Jesus painting that's my very favorite of all the Jesus paintings. And it's this one where he's got his head leaned back and he's just cracking up. Jesus, full of joy, full of laughter. I love that picture. Because I fear that too often when we picture Jesus, we picture this somber, stoic Jesus. It's like, I gotta pick up my cross again. Ah, that's like what most of the pictures look like. And I don't know why we have that picture of him when what we know about his life is, for one, he performed his very first miracle at a wedding. And his very first miracle involved making more wine. What kind of Jesus is that? This is a Jesus who loved to hang out with kids. Try to be in a group of kids for 10 minutes and just try to count in those 10 minutes how many times those kiddos laugh. It's nonstop. Studies say that the average child, gets this, laughs 300 to 400 times a day. Isn't that beautiful? You know how many times the average adult laughs? 15. How do we go from 400 to 15? No wonder Jesus preferred hanging out with kiddos. Jesus loved a good dinner party. You see, Jesus actually enjoyed his days here on earth. He enjoyed them. He is the giver of life, and you better bet he was going to enjoy the life he got to spend with his people. So often in Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, we are called to be a people who delight ourselves in the Lord. And I love that word, delight, delightful. Don't you love the word delight? Delight. It means to take great pleasure in something. What's the great thing, last thing you took great pleasure in? Great pleasure. Scripture tells us, the children of God, find great pleasure in your life with the Lord. Pleasure. The Westminster Catechism says the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Enjoyment, delight, great pleasure. It seems that Scripture would tell us that we are actually supposed to have a ball in our lives with God here on earth. It's actually supposed to be fun. It's actually supposed to be good, like those sheep who can't wait in the morning to see what adventure the shepherds got for them today. So it should be with us. We delight, we find great pleasure in waking up to God every day, ready to soak up all the gifts he's got for us all day long. Does anyone have that relative or that friend who just gives the best gifts? Maybe they're wealthy and they're just really generous with their wealth, and so they go over and above to spoil you. Maybe they're just really attentive to your wishes and they give you those things that make your heart sing that nobody else was thinking about. Everybody needs a good gift giver in their lives. They are fun to have around. In my life, I've got many. One of my good gift givers is Kara. And just yesterday, she gave me the coolest gift. You see this thing? I know you have no idea what it is from your seats. You know what this is? This is a Chick-fil-A sauce holder for your car. How cool is that? She knows a lot about me in this one gift. She knows that I love Chick-fil-A. She knows my favorite Chick-fil-A sauce is Chick-fil-A sauce, best condiment around. She knows that I tend to drive doing too many things at once. And so she got me like 5 things in one little tiny gift that says, I know you, I know what you love, I know what you need. Enjoy. What a good gift. Everybody needs a really good gift giver in their lives. And you want to know something really cool? We, all of us, know the giver of every good and perfect gift. And we don't just know him, but we love him. And we don't just love him, but he loves us. And he delights in us. And he finds great pleasure in pouring down his blessings upon us. Before becoming a mom, I used to think about if I was going to be a mom one day. And there were a lot of things about being a mom that I was excited about. But there were a few things that I was not looking forward to at all. Some things that I was dreading, if I'm honest. One of those things I was dreading was losing control over my TV. I was like, I do not want to spend hours of my life having to watch terrible children's programming. And then I was definitely not looking forward to long afternoons at the park, standing in one place, staring at my kid have a good time. It's like, if I'm going to the park, I want to do something fun. I want to be running. I want to be biking. I don't want to sit there and push a swing forever. No way. But you know what's crazy? Now that I have this little guy that I just absolutely delight in, this little guy that I love with all my heart, I find that there's times in my day when I'm getting excited about turning on his favorite TV show. Because I just love to see him smile and I love to see him clap when he does his little dance at certain songs with Miss Rachel. And I just delight in watching him delight in this thing. And then on my days off, I find that I'm scheduling my day and I'm planning it all around where the nearest park is with baby swings. What the heck? Because there's nothing that I look forward to on my day off than watching my little boy just enjoy himself. It's delight. I delight in him as he delights in these gifts. We delight in the ones that we love. And so it is with God. So it is with God. He has made this world for us, his children, to find treasures that bring us joy every single day. And he delights in us as we delight in him. Christians, Jesus followers, lovers of Jesus, should be the people in this world who are having the most fun. We don't have that reputation, do we? But they should be the people having the most fun because their eyes and their hearts are open to receiving these gifts, these blessings from heaven every single day. Christians have this bad rap of being the lamest guest at the party or the very worst producers of movies or the lamest joke tellers around. Everybody thinks that Christians are really just kind of boring, just kind of stale. And they're not always all that wrong. But what could misrepresent our Jesus, who danced and sang and ate and played and laughed? What could misrepresent him more than a bunch of bored and boring Christians? Nothing. Well, there's some evil, but don't be boring. Don't be bored. Your Jesus delights as you delight. Want to live life to the full. Want to live life on purpose. Delight yourself in the Lord. Find great pleasure in your life with him. Get excited about what he's got in store for you. Get giddy before you walk out the door in the morning wondering what fun you're going to have with God today. Recognize those things that bring you joy and put them in your life every single day. Don't save your hobbies. Don't save your time with family until those few hours you get on the weekends. Laugh more. Try to get at least 100 a day. Watch funny things. Surround yourself with lighthearted people. Take yourself less seriously and just laugh every chance you get. Every single day, find time to do what brings your heart to life. Delight in creation. Delight in painting. Delight in cooking a delicious meal. Delight in eating that delicious meal. Delight in hugging your kids. Delight in dancing in your kitchen with nobody looking. Delight in talking to your Jesus and letting your Jesus talk to you. Delight, delight, delight. Find something that your heart delights in and do it for Jesus. Do it in the name of Jesus. Do it with Jesus. A full life enjoys the gifts of this day. A full life is marked by delight. Great pleasure, great pleasure. A life fully lived, abundant, lived on purpose, demands, get this, a healthy balance of work and rest and play. Those sheep, they're taken to the pen every night for rest. And have you ever watched the sheep? They're actually really good at naps too. They take lots of those. They eat grass. They walk to pasture. They work. And then when they get to that pasture, they run around and they play for a bit. And then they crash hard and they take a nap. And then they get up and they do it all again. Work, play, rest. Work, play, rest. Repeat. Us Americans, we are good at lots of things, for sure. But one thing that our society as a whole stinks at is a good work, play, rest balance. We've got workaholics who never play or rest. And our society idolizes them like they're doing it right. And we have people who just play, who spend most of the day on video games or TV doing little meaningful work at all. And really, we're all pretty bad at rest. Studies show that American sleep habits today are worse than they have ever been. It says that today, 1 in 5 Americans gets less than 5 hours of sleep per day. 1 in 5. And only 59% get 8 hours a day, what the body needs to be fully alive. Can't be fully alive if you're always tired. Barely half of us are getting it. And the thing is, we know the importance of sleep. We know it because we feel it. Lack of sleep messes us up. It leads to high cholesterol, diabetes, hypertension, inflammation, depression, anxiety, heart disease, kidney disease, and stroke. And yet, our culture acts like it's a badge of honor to be running on little sleep. How much sleep did you get last night? 6 hours? Oh, I only got 5. It's like a competition. And it's not the way that the Good Shepherd ever created us to live. The Good Shepherd tells his sheep, let's go for a walk. Let's get to pasture. Let's work hard. Okay, now we're in the pasture. Go run around. Have some fun. Enjoy it. Let's play well. You've been busy. Let's lie down. Rest. Sleep easy. This is the abundant life. Working hard. Playing well. Sleeping easy. How are we doing on those? We got some hard workers in this room, some really hard workers. Anyone in this room really good at play? Yeah, really good at play. Anyone really good at naps? Yeah. Anyone enjoying all three in this beautiful dance? It's not the full life without each of them. Anyone who's not retired enjoying all three? We're all right. I like it. All three can't have the abundant life without them. Finally, the abundant life, the fully alive life, is lived on purpose and with purpose. With purpose. Psalm 23 says, he, the shepherd, leads me into paths of righteousness. Do you remember why? What's the rest of that verse? For his name's sake. Oh, I love it. The sheep live to walk with the shepherd. The sheep live to point others to the shepherd. The sheep live to make a big deal of the shepherd. That is their purpose. To be the healthiest, most beautiful, happiest sheep that they can be, so that all the other sheep look at them and say, wow, what a shepherd. What a shepherd. Can I be in his flock too? That's the life purpose of the sheep, of us, is to make a big deal of our shepherd so everyone seeing us longs to see him too. My friends, did you know that you have a purpose? Did you know that you have a calling from God? Yes, you do. You do. Did you know that the shepherd has created you, has chosen you, has called you to make a big deal of him in this zip code, in this very generation? You don't exist at this time, in this place, with all the experiences and gifts and skills and wisdom that you hold just by chance. It's on purpose. God wanted you here. God wanted you now. God wanted you for such a time as this, for a purpose. And that is to shine the light on our Good Shepherd Jesus for all to see. And now how each one of us is going to do that is going to look a little bit differently. But each of us is called by God to make our whole lives about that. About making a big deal of our shepherd. A full life, an abundant life, embraces that purpose and lives into it 100%. Have you ever been stuck in a meeting without a purpose? It is the most frustrating thing. Have you ever sat through a movie and wondered about 30 minutes in, what's the purpose? You can't wait for the credits to roll because you're bored out of your mind. You know those shows where the main characters are living without purpose? Beavis and Butthead. I'll probably never say that from the pulpit again. I can only say because it's a proper noun. Beavis and Butthead, Al Bundy, Homer Simpson. They're all just drinking beer, sitting on curbs or in their recliner, sleeping the day away. There's nothing. We don't look at their lives and say, man, if I could just be more like Beavis. No, we look and we say, there's nothing abundant about that life at all. We know it. All of those things, they just make us nuts in our heart of hearts because deep down inside, we know that we know what's true. We know that we were made to need purpose. We were made to look for purpose. We were made to have a purpose. And that is because the living God put in us a real purpose. And he intends for us to fill our lives up with it. You have a calling. I have a calling to put skin in the game, to get our hands dirty, to jump in till we're at least neck deep. Why not go all the way under to the work that God has given you to do for his kingdom to come? Are you living out your purpose? Are you shining your light brightly so people see the Good Shepherd when they see you? Because there is no abundant life without purpose. How do I find my purpose, people ask. One of my favorite preachers, Barbara Brown Taylor, she had the same question as a kid. And she finally had a mentor who said, here's what your purpose is. Love the Lord with all your heart and do what you love. Love the Lord with all your heart and do what you love. It sounds like Howard Thurman's famous quote, don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive and go do it. Because what the world needs is people who've come alive. What makes you come alive? What makes you come alive with the love of Jesus? Whatever that is, in the name of Jesus, do it every day. We are here to make a big deal of our shepherd. His sheep must be the most alive sheep on this earth. So if nothing else, our purpose this week might just be this simple. Just come alive. Come alive. That others might see us and say, who's taken such good care of you? Who's given you such joy? Who's given you such courage? You think there's room for me? With him too. Sheep in the hands of the Good Shepherd. Life like it was meant to be lived. Abundantly good life. Among us, O Lord, let it be. Your people, this day, living on purpose. O Lord, let it be. Your people this day living with purpose, making a big deal of you, Jesus. Oh Lord, let it be. Would you dare say it with me? Let it be. Let it be. Amen. Lord Jesus, thank you for the gift of life. It is your breath in our lungs. And it is only a joy to get to be your people. Right here, right now, for such a time as this. To be sheep in your flock, to be people who know you, Jesus, who love you, who walk with you. People who delight in you. People who find this healthy balance of meaningful work and fun play and good rest in your care. People who have a purpose that's so much bigger than ourselves. A purpose that shapes generations to come. A purpose that turns communities upside down in the best kind of way, in the kingdom way. Thank you that we all get to live on purpose, with a purpose. Let us embrace the gift of life you have for us more and more, not sleeping through another day, O Lord. Alive and awake, here we are. May your will be done among us, we pray. Amen.